Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, installing energy-efficient windows to help lower utility bills year-round. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 29th. I'm Arla Kuziz. While agricultural incomes are expected to rebound this year, farmers have been taking on more debt lately. Coupled with high costs to run a business, some are worried.
It makes it really tough, so there's a squeeze on both sides of the equation.
A look at why loan demand is up and why some ag economists believe it could be a sign of better things to come. That story coming up on The Gateway. Planned Parenthood officials say they're readying a legal challenge to a Missouri Supreme Court decision that once again prohibits abortion in the state. Tuesday, the Missouri Supreme Court struck down injunctions put in place last year by Kansas City Judge Jerry Jung, blocking abortion restrictions. The High Court's ruling says Jung used the wrong standards to rule on the injunctions. Planned Parenthood Great Plains President and CEO Emily Wales says the ruling requires the injunctions to be lifted, but doesn't necessarily ban abortions permanently.
We will be back in court as soon as possible and try to reiterate that although the standard is different, the evidence, the expert testimony, the facts here are not changed. We anticipate that we will get another preliminary injunction that will allow us to reopen abortion services.
Wales says for now, Missourians who need abortion care should contact their healthcare provider to discuss options. The Missouri National Guard will start its groundwork in St. Louis today. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
National Guard troops will focus on removing large debris. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says a Guard member has been working with the city since the tornado and helped submit the mission request to Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe. Spencer says 41 Guard members will be here for 2 weeks.
We'll be reevaluating through that process, and that may evolve as the need really becomes clear as we start to do this work.
State and city emergency management agencies will take over once the Guard leaves. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Centennial Christian Church is unveiling its vision to rebuild the church in the Fountain Park neighborhood after a deadly tornado did significant damage to the community. Church leaders announced yesterday that they plan to build a new multi-purpose worship and gathering space, an affordable housing unit in Fountain Park, a community health clinic, as well as a commercial space for local entrepreneurs. Clint Potts is a longtime Centennial Church member and Fountain Park resident.
It's a moment for us to stop, reflect, re-envision our ministry, and to have hope for the church, our future, the community. As I look back on our glorious past and our legacy, we have to continue our mighty, mighty mission.
Church leaders say the multi-million dollar redevelopment project will take upwards of a decade or later to complete. As North St. Louis residents continue cleaning up their storm-damaged homes, some are concerned about brick theft. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
If you drive around some of the most heavily damaged neighborhoods in North St. Louis, you'll find the iconic red bricks scattered across front yards and streets. Those bricks tend to be stolen, according to some local organizations that are helping residents clean up their damaged properties. In an interview with St. Louis on the Air, historian Michael Allen says this type of property theft isn't new.
Brick symbolizes this bond of people to place in a very profound way. And I think in the last 25 years, there was a whole rash of illegal brick harvesting in neighborhoods like The Ville, Jeff Vanderloo, St. Louis Place. We call it brick theft.
The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department says they haven't seen an uptick in property theft calls. Residents should collect and stack the bricks on their properties as they could be used to rebuild. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The alderwoman of St. Louis's 7th Ward says she wants to focus on the city's purchasing process in her second term. Alicia Saunier was re-elected to a full 4-year term in April with 66% of the vote. She says the city has a number of opportunities available for small businesses to sign contracts with or get grants from the city, but it can take them up to a year to get reimbursed.
If you're a small business, do you have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to put up front before you get reimbursed? No. That means that there's just a lot of folks in our city who are doing phenomenal work in business, in, you know, in retail, in commercial spaces, in the nonprofit space that just can't go get those funds.
Saunier was a guest on the Politically Speaking podcast. Illinois lawmakers want to commemorate the world's first ever Illinois-born pope with license plates and a statue. Alex Degman reports.
Republican State Representative Marty McLaughlin wants a statue of Pope Leo XIV built on the Illinois State Capitol grounds. The Pope, formerly known as Robert Prevost, was born in Chicago and raised in suburban Dalton. McLaughlin's measure creates the new Pope Leo commemorative license plates to help pay for the statue. It'll cost an extra $27 the first year and $17 every year after that. Most of that will get deposited into a newly created monument fund, which will also accept private donations. The Capitol architect would design the statue, and the Secretary of State would design the license plates. I'm Alex Degman.
Farmers have been taking on more debt lately following years of really low levels of borrowing. At the end of last year, the volume of farm loans not related to real estate was up 25% compared to a year earlier. That trend continued in the first quarter of this year. Is the increased use of debt a sign of financial downturn in the ag sector? St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer explores that question.
To understand the current ag economy, let's start with what got us here. Why are farmers using more loans than they have been? Tate Berg is an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. He also farms himself.
When the ag economy is doing really well and farm income is up, farm loan demand goes down. And as the farm economy struggles, the farm loan demand goes up. So we're kind of seeing a little bit of both.
And he's watching those numbers closely. The Minneapolis Fed just put out a report showing loan demand is up. Berg says farm income is down for a few reasons. The main one is commodity prices have dropped quite a bit over the last 3 years. For example, soybeans sold at just shy of $18 per bushel when they peaked in 2022. Now it's less than $11. And Berg says that's coupled with high input costs.
It makes it really tough, so there's a squeeze on both sides of the equation.
Fertilizer and ag equipment are some of the things that have been pricey. And that's led to greater need for loans, according to Nate Kaufman. He's an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City.
The concern would be if this type of environment, meaning reduced profit margins, persists for some amount of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, you could envision some scenarios where it does lead to more financial stress.
For some farmers, these trends are already creating stress.
This should process out. There's 32 turkeys here, and it should process out to like between 350 to 400 pounds of ground turkey.
Anna Morell is showing me her farm. She also raises chickens for meat. She has ducks, geese, and chickens for eggs and grows tons of produce.
And they make the funniest sounds.
All to be sold at farmers markets in central Illinois. Morell also serves as the president of the Central Illinois Young Farmers Coalition. While standing inside a new barn, she says these conditions are extra tough, especially on young farmers.
There's not a ton of money to go around for farmers right now. And right now with federal freeze and tariffs, I'm not quite sure how we're all going to fare. But
Morell says she feels fortunate that she and her husband don't have a loan for anything on the farm right now. But they do have plans to expand, and that could require financing. Tariffs also might mean higher prices on things like feed. Morell says she's been able to avoid raising prices on her eggs for several years. With tariffs, that might have to change.
But then also we want to balance being able to serve our community, serve people who may not be able to afford our higher prices. And even if personally not financing anything right now, tariffs are definitely going to be a concern.
However, there are some that believe more loans aren't necessarily a sign of a weakening ag economy. Roger McOwen is a professor of agricultural law and taxation at Washburn University School of Law in Kansas.
Yeah, the debt levels look high, but your underlying asset values are also high. Those have not deteriorated, which means you still have the ability to pay your debt.
Land values, for instance, remain high. So a common benchmark economists consider the debt-to-asset ratio is in good shape. That's also true for what's called the current ratio, or a farmer's ability to pay their debt, McOwen says. And that tells him farmers are seeking loans with an eye to the future.
They're not necessarily incurring more debt because they're behind on things. And the current ratios tell me that. The debt-to-asset ratios tell me that. They're not borrowing because they're in trouble. They're borrowing because they're anticipating greater investment slash sales later on.
While farmers keep a close eye on tariffs and their bottom lines, ag economists will be watching whether farmers keep making their loan payments on time. In Clinton, Illinois, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Maria Altman edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.